This particular psalm, Psalm 139, is perhaps one of the most powerful prayers in all of Scripture, that God knows everything about us. So, Lord, we pray that you would speak through us and to us as we pray to you and as we open our lives to your touch in us. You can pray silently along with me as you follow along in your bulletin as we consider Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascended to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast the sum of them. I try to count them, they are more than the sand. I come to the end, I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We're all walking wounded. Most of us get up every morning, but all of us are carrying around hurts from pain and difficult experiences we've had in our lives. And depending on what we've been through, it's had long-term effects on how some of us function as adults, some more, perhaps some less. We have pain from our childhood, our upbringing, the way we were raised, the inadequacies of our family of origin. Abuse or neglect for some, perhaps a perception that our parents favored one sibling over another, perhaps a child illness or disability or grief that we feel set us apart from others. We carry hurts and pain from difficult experiences in our teenage and young adult years too. Hurts from mistakes and failures and rejections and traumatic situations. Wounds from having to move too much or from inappropriate discipline or from a family divorce or the unfaithfulness of one or both of our parents. Sometimes things just didn't go well for us as we tried to be ourselves and figure out who we were and negotiate life and get on our feet and take charge of our lives. And then, of course, there's that pain that we've experienced from the ups and downs of life that we've been through as adults, too. Failure, broken relationships, heartbreak, traumatic accidents, illnesses, overwhelming grief, depression, poor decisions that we ourselves have made. The problems in our lives, whether they've come from outside of us or whether they've come from inside of us, are never someone else's responsibility. I may see myself as a victim, But no one else can face up to my unique life and its pain but me. No one can seek healing and wholeness but me. No one else but me can step up to the plate and start trusting God for the changes I need for serenity, for wholeness, for turning my life towards making a difference for others. You'll remember, most of you, that we're in the middle of a Lenten sermon series called Giving It Up, Our Unmanageable Lives. You may have seen the posters around the campus, and you may have seen ads on Facebook about this. This Lent, we're focusing together as a church on trusting God for recovery from habits and reactions and patterns and addictions in our lives that harm ourselves and harm others. And of course, on this fourth week of Lent, we've come to the fourth step of the 12 steps, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. As we face and trust God with changes that we know we need in our lives, it's important to keep each step and the sequence of all of the 12 steps consistently in our minds and in our hearts. The first step admitted we were powerless over uncontrollable anger or over anxiety that affects others and puts expectations on others, or over alcohol or drugs or gambling or shopping or overeating, or whatever you used to fill in that blank several weeks ago when we did step one. Sometimes our addictions are chemical and very physical. Other times they're simply behaviors and habits in our lives that are bigger than we are and that take power over our will so that our choices can't be in charge of our lives. Step two came to believe that only a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three was, Jan preached about last week, made a commitment to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Each of these steps is crucial. We have to come back to them over and over again in our lives, and sometimes we have to go all the way to the beginning and start over and work each step one at a time again. But lots of times, people who have found the 12 steps to be life-changing will tell you that it was when they took step four seriously that they reached a turning point in terms of a long-term, sustainable recovery, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. How? How do we do that? Well, let me share with you what one recovering person said about step four. She said, during the first three steps, I've turned my attention from my addiction or my habit or reaction or pattern that's destructive and the wreckage that it's done to my life, and I've turned my attention to the God that I've come to realize can deliver me. I've faced the truth of my situation and turned this situation over to God who can help me. And now it's time to start seeing things as they truly are rather than through the glass of my confused mind and heart. She goes on to say, the first step in this process of getting real is to take an honest inventory of my life. Exactly where have I been? What have I done? And how far did I go in my destructive behaviors? When and where did they start? And where have they led me? This is a vital step away from my dysfunctional life filled with chaos and dysfunctional behaviors towards a conscious life filled with more personal power and serenity in trusting God. And I want to read you also from the wisdom of a basic 12-step text. It says, the purpose of a searching and fearless moral inventory is to sort through the confusion and the contradiction of our lives so that we can find out who we really are. We're starting a new way of life, and we need to be rid of the burdens and traps that have controlled us and prevented our growth. Now, this is very important, this next part. The word fearless is a tough one in this step. As we approach this step, most of us are afraid. We're afraid that there's a monster inside of us that, if released, will destroy us. And this fear can cause us to put off our inventory or may even prevent us from taking this crucial step at all. We've found, though, that fear is a lack of faith. And we've found a loving, personal God to whom we can turn. Remember Psalm 139. We no longer need to be afraid. anyone, the book goes on, who has truly worked this step will tell you that the fourth step was a turning point in their life. We're trying to free ourselves of living in old, useless patterns. We take the fourth step to gain the necessary strength and insight, which enables us to grow. Now, once we make up our minds that making a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves is crucial to our recovery and our transformation, I can think of no better text of Scripture for our foundation and our daily prayer than Psalm 139. Didn't you love it when I read it? You have it printed in your bulletin. I hope you'll open up your bulletin and look at it again with me. When our lives go in a harmful direction, it's not hard to turn on God and to blame God instead of turning to God and placing our trust in God for the change that we need in our lives. And one of the reasons we do that is because somewhere along the line, we started imagining that God is our enemy, that God was the one who brought the difficult circumstances into our lives to punish us. Or maybe we imagine that somehow we could hide our lives from God, and then God wouldn't know what was going on with us. That if we shut God out of our lives, God would go away and leave us alone. Or sometimes we even imagine that somehow we could think God out of existence in our little brains. But Scripture is a wonderful antidote to that kind of twisted thinking. We said it in our call to worship from John 4, didn't we? Those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus said the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. For this is the kind of person the Father seeks to worship him. Here's how it works. If we're not honest with God, we can't be honest with God. Truthfulness, transparency, integrity, honesty is crucial in order for us to be in God's presence. And that's how we can make a searching and fearless moral inventory. And Psalm 139 helps us understand why it's so important to be completely transparent and completely honest in God's presence, and actually how stupid it is to try to be anything else, right? God has searched us and known us. God knows everything about us. Why? The Lord knit us together in our mother's womb. God formed our inward parts. There's nowhere we can flee, the psalm says, from God's presence. At the farthest reaches of the earth, God is there, even in the depths of hell. Some of us have been there. God is there. Even the darkness is not dark to God. The darkness is as bright as the day. Darkness is as light to God. Nothing is concealed from God. Nothing can ever be concealed from God. And in spite of everything God knows about us, by God's grace in Jesus Christ, God loves us. God loved the world so much that he gave the only begotten Son so that whoever places their faith in Jesus would not die, but could have eternal life. God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world through Christ might be saved. This Lenten season, as you seek to address whatever that destructive force in your life that you named a few weeks ago when we did the fourth step, the first step, do you remember the one that's hurting you or those around you? That hurtful way that we sang about when we were singing our prayer of confession this morning? As you seek to address that destructive force, a fearless and searching personal moral inventory can be crucial to understanding the new direction God wants you to go in your life. And the question we asked ourselves in a moral inventory is, what aspects of our character do we need to retain and emphasize? That's the good part. And what should be modified or discarded? What's helping us? What's hurting us and the people around us? A book called Serenity, a companion to 12-step recovery, talks about six components that might go into our inventory, and it's nice to have it spelled out. And we'll put this sermon up on the website tomorrow or Tuesday so that you can look and get these, because you may want to write these down. First, we probably need to tell our stories. Sometimes it's most helpful to tell your story by journaling, by writing out your story from the beginning to the end and then sharing it in writing with a friend or with a spouse or a trusted family member, with some people at a small meeting or group you're a part of, or even with a pastor or a counselor or a Stephen minister. Telling your story. And then second, discover the roots of our addiction, our codependency, our dysfunctional habit or attitude or reaction or behavior. What are its roots? In most cases, that means we'll have to examine ourselves all the way back to our childhoods, our earliest memories. What needs were not met there? What negative experiences or messages about ourselves did we absorb in our family of origin, in our teenage years, and in the traumatic experiences of our adult lives? Third, it's important to confront and assess the full extent of our dependencies and harmful habits and attitudes and behaviors. As we do that, we'll learn more about the severity of our primary issues. Most of us have some deep root issues, and we may uncover some other related peripheral issues too that we hadn't recognized before that we need to deal with. It's important to inventory and identify all of those issues, the root ones and the peripheral ones. It may take several weeks or months for all of them to surface, sometimes even years later, as you're working recovery and working the 12 steps. Something new will come up that you weren't able to face when you did your initial inventory. And you're going to have to go back and do this step again. Fourth, we need to look back at our relationship history with the people who have been important in our lives, our parents, no matter whether they were with us or not, even if we're adopted, both our birth parents and our adoptive parents, our teachers, our mentors, the people we looked up to, and some which led us in the wrong direction and others which tried to lead us in the right direction, our friends, our romantic interests, our spouses. It's important to inventory all the ways that we have hurt them and hurt ourselves by practicing our adult addictions and codependencies and dysfunctional habits and attitudes and behaviors. Fifth, we need to be willing to face the feelings of guilt that will come out during this process. If you get to this point in your inventory, you're going to feel terrible about yourself, because all this stuff comes tumbling out and you're dealing with it and you're trying not to be afraid and you're facing it as best you can. And a lot of our addictions and chronic habits that hurt others are shame-based and shame-propelled. And to move beyond that shame base, we need to distinguish between false guilt, that would be guilt that other people put on us, or guilt that we put on ourselves that is not real, and whatever true guilt that really should take responsibility for hurt we really have caused to ourselves and other people. And sixth and last, it's important to remember throughout this whole process to constantly look for the good. And we need other people in our lives, from the church, from meetings, from other groups, people who know us best, who can help us to see the good in us. Because that's a very important balance when we focus on these difficult aspects of our past. So a step four inventory should include the positive as well as the negative things about us. We'll be talking a little more next week, Jan will, about how we can draw on the strength of others to help us deal with our personal inventory. In the end, the one reality who can free us from fear and who can best strengthen us to face ourselves and to examine our lives truthfully is the God who made us. The God who knows our every thought and our every motive, all our habits and intentions. The God we just met in Psalm 139. And I hope you'll take your bulletin home and I hope you'll read this prayer to yourselves every day this week and keep it somewhere important so that you can look at it all the time. This is the same God who's the Father of Jesus Christ and who's our Father in Jesus Christ. This is the good, perfect Father who can fill in all of the empty places in our lives and our hearts that were left in us by the inadequacies of the way that we were raised. And this is the same God who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever places their faith in him would not die, but would have eternal life. Let us pray. Gracious God, free us from fear. You know everything about us. You know our going out and our coming in. You formed our inward parts, and you were there at our birth, and you knew us, and you had a purpose for us even before we were born. Show us that good purpose as we seek transformation in our lives and as we do a fearless and searching moral inventory, that we might keep our eyes forward, looking at Jesus, your perfect example of a human being that we can follow and model from. In this Lenten season, may you change us by your Spirit as we tell ourselves the truth, and as we let you show us who we really are, both the bad, but more importantly, the good potential to turn outward and to make a difference in the lives of others and to worship and honor and serve you as you created us to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.